Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall, just for what I did well. And there's some stories I can tell you.
It's Final Word World Cup Daily. Adam Collins with you, Vidushan Hartaraj with me. Day 3, Afghanistan playing Bangladesh up at Dharam Sala. Now, daily shows are for Westfield London. Westfield, Stratford City, more extra, less ordinary. We're in my backyard in London, where Vish lives around the corner, so we've been watching it together. Tell us about the game in 30 seconds.
30 seconds, wow. Okay, Rabindranath Lagabra's got off to a great start, and it looked for a moment that Afghanistan were really actually in it for the long haul. I think we see a lot of them in T20 cricket, and they're all guns blazing. It looks like the guns were set to 3 rather than 5, and they botched it. They were 112 for 2, ended up losing 2 wickets for Spear, and then the third wicket soon after that. Rabindranath Garbaraz was the only batter of note to really do anything before he gave it away. But, I mean, credit to Mehdi Hasan.
Yep.
Then went and got the runs as well. And Shakib Ul Hasan, who just does what he does.
So, in the end, Bangladesh win by 6 wickets with the better part of 16 overs to spare. They chased down 157 in 34.4 overs. Unbeaten was Shanto, our guy we've been talking about a lot over the last 18 months. 59 not out. A half century from Mehdi Hasan, who made 57 to go with his 3 for 25 from 9. Excellent figures. 3 for 30 for the captain, Shakib Ul Hasan. And yeah, you mentioned Rabindranath, who made 47. It felt to me like the whole game drifted from there, because they get a pretty good start right there. 50 for 1 after 10, which in what we've seen so far in the World Cup, that's, you know, roughly par. It's a game played in the morning at Dharamsala. Mm-hmm. We're expecting the ball to do a little bit. Naturally, the toss was won by Bangladesh, who sent Afghanistan in. We're seeing teams want to chase in this competition. And yeah, you say 112 for 2, but yeah, it felt like that slow ball from Mustafizur that was placed out to deep point. Rabindranath holding out for 47 from there. It just opened a big door up to the two major spinners from Bangladesh, and they climbed through it.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because I think a lot of teams are going to, you know, we went into this World Cup appreciating the fact that we're playing at very different venues, you know, across India, so we're going to get very different conditions. You're almost waiting for the first game to be played at these set venues. And I do wonder if actually England are looking at this thinking, right, I wonder how much we can take from this. Because it's interesting, you know, even at the halfway stage, I think Owen Morgan was going onto the pitch showing how hard it was. And, you know, the ball was doing a lot early, and it looked like Afghanistan got through that actually pretty comfortably, as you said, with their power play start. But, I mean, Mehdi Hasan is one of those players. I think England fans will remember him from, you know, really bursting onto the scene, you know, because you can only burst on the scene against England, yeah? but in that 2016 series in Bangladesh, where you kind of knew this guy was a gun off spinner, and it's only really recently, actually, that they've been making use of his batting per se. This is the first time I think he's batted at number 3, having spent most of his career at 7 and 8. And obviously with the ball first up, he's just got nerves of steel, really. And it's funny seeing him with Shakib and thinking, right, you just, they've been teammates for a long time now, but you can just see when Shakib decides enough's enough, you know, he hands over the talk to the bloke who's already established next to him.
Yeah, they do two very different things, don't they? So Shakib, battle-hardened T20 pro, knows how to keep the stumps in play the whole time. Whereas Mehdi's, what I've always liked about him, and, you know, that series in 2016 was the first time I saw him play. I think it was an 18-year-old, 3 6-wicket bags against England, player of the series there, made a half century against India early in his test career as well. So he's always had the potential with the bat. But what I love about him is you watch the ball in slow motion, he puts so much work on it.
Yeah.
He's trying to get side spin. He's kind of an old-fashioned off-spinner. One ball today to clip the inside edge, having spun prodigiously. One of five Afghanistan batsmen who were bowled, I think three of those were chop-ons. So it was a slightly two-paced surface, if you like, despite being, you know, as you said before, hard as a cat's head. But yeah, the way Mehedi offers something with bat and ball now, more senior player in the side. He was actually captaining Bangladesh in the warm-up game, so I suppose he's technically the vice-captain.
Yeah.
Now they've taken Tamim out the back and gotten rid of him for the time being, and that's Shakib's doing, of course. But, you know, Bangladesh's record over the last 4 years in one-day cricket at home has been exceptional. They've not lost a series for years.
Yeah.
It feels like, I mean, we said it in the previous show, they've got a massive game coming up against England in a few days from now. I don't think they're as far behind the front pack as people might think. They've been under the radar through the World Cup Super League, but they've got off to a great start here. They have a very healthy net run rate to begin with, and we know that can act like a second win. I reckon they're more than a puncher's chance against England.
Well, the thing, you know, to be in with a shot, it's really the bowlers that you need in a 50-over game. We saw it a little bit with New Zealand against England, really, but... You know, if you look at I feel like they've got everything covered. They, you know, they've got bowlers who turn the ball, you know, away from left-hander and right-hander.
Yep.
You think their pace attack as well. Obviously, we know all about the Fears, and we all kind of really all know about Taskin Ahmed.
Taskin, yeah.
But you think of like Shoraiful Islam as well, and the way he came in today. Like, they have a little bit of everything, and there's part of me that, you know, I do think the World Cup is poorer for Tamim Iqbal, but at the same time. You look at their batting lineup, and there's a level of calm through there. I think sometimes they get, you know, they got caught a bit between a rock and a hard place today with them deciding whether they were going to, you know, knock off the runs quickly or you know, just bide their time. And in the end, they did the latter. But, you know, even Shanto just being there at the end and, like, seeing it through, having basically played possum for the first, you know, 15 overs of his particular innings, like, really does feel like there's a bit more around him. I mean, there are the players we mentioned that are all battle-hardened cricketers. You know, Mehedi might only be 26. I think, you know, Shanto is only 26, 28. Linton Das is 28. Yep. You know, you've got players like that who have been around the scene for a long, long time.
They've played a lot of World Cups too. Yeah, like, you know, T20 well, yeah. World Cups, two of them since the last 50-over edition. They went far away from making the semis last time. I know they lost to Pakistan on the final day. So they were probably a win and a half or a win plus net run rate for making the final four. Of course, they knocked off the Windies last time around, and they had a really impressive win against South Africa. So that's Bangladesh. As for Afghanistan, they were just held up early on with the bat, weren't they? I mean, we talked about Raminullah. I mean, Zadran as well, making 22 from 25. But then Hashmatullah, the captain, 18 from 38. He was one of a couple of wickets that fell from top edges trying to force the issue with slog sweeping. They didn't look like they were just quite clicking today. There were a couple of moments peripheral to it as well, which bolstered that. And I'll come back to one of those in the Hall of Fame. But, you know, the experience of Mohammad Nabi, he was knocked over by Taskin Ahmed, who you mentioned before, has got that extra yard of pace.
Yeah,
lots of experience now as well, moving back towards the right hander. Might have even been a hint of reverse in that delivery. Yeah, I share that view with you. Like, they seem to have most bases covered. And Afghanistan, who now have 13 games in a row in 50 over World Cups where they've not won, they went winless in 2019. They won one game in 2015. So a lot was made before the tournament of the Netherlands being the side that everyone expected to lose all nine games. Well, you know, maybe it is Afghanistan. If they did have moments, like, I don't want to make it sound like they were hammered today, but it wasn't like they couldn't have got their way back into it. They were unlucky with a leg before decision, which again we might come back to in a moment.
Yeah.
They dropped chances. They got two early Bangladeshi wickets.
They could have had them 38 for three. Yeah,
they probably should have.
He should have gone early. Yeah.
Najibullah, the drop at backward point.
Yeah, off Faruqi, who actually.
Yeah.
You know, you said there were, you know, we could probably go through this game on a different slant and say and talk about the missed chances from Afghanistan. And I think maybe we'll be meeting them more than halfway with the bat. Certainly up top with the ball, like Faruqi was getting it to hoop, probably wasting it actually. There was a lot of early movement. And it was only when he came around the wicket that he got the initial breakthrough anyway. And then the drop at backward point, and you're kind of thinking, right, what might have been? Because, you know, Bangladesh would be susceptible as anyone, as maybe even Afghanistan, of falling away. But there was just, in the end, just didn't get enough runs. And even with the batting, you mentioned the top edges. I think basically as bad with the number of times that they were trying to basically work the ball off the straight and getting essentially, what, we had three chop-ons or something like that? Like
five bowled, three chop-ons.
Yeah, just like very, very unnecessary, I thought, especially when you consider that Dharamshala is exactly the kind of ground where you just hit straight. The short boundaries are the straight boundaries.
Yeah, so Najibullah was one of those who was bowled. And also, he took, after... before dropping the catch at backward point, which was a straightforward one and a crucial one, he did execute a brilliant run out too at the non-strikers end, which got them going at the very start. That was Tunzid, who made runs in the warm-up games. He was run out for five, and then...
Even he batted a bit funny, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. So he was only there briefly, but still, Tunzid having won that last spot in the side, that last batting spot. Litton Das, who we saw bat so well against India in the T20 World Cup at Adelaide last year, he was bowled chopping on as well, again, pointing to the surface today at Dharamsala for 13 from 18. So there was a window there, but Mehedi and Shanto shut it down. Shanto's class. I love the way that he plays the ball through the onside square that we straight arms. It's such an aesthetically pleasing thing to see.
It's the kind of thing that gets coached out of you quite early, doesn't it?
Right. Unless it's kind of your trick and seemingly his. And Shakib was there towards the end and the winning runs were struck. Two boundaries consecutively from Shanto there. Just on the leg before that should have been, that was a point where, again, in all probability, Afghanistan are losing that game comfortably anyway. But Mehedi on an even 50, the two balls after raising his half century, a delivery from Mujeeb that is given out on the field by Joel Wilson, had to change his decision. I felt sorry for Joel Wilson there. Ashan Raza, who's upstairs, excellent umpire, but we've been talking on The Final Word for years now about the need for specialist TV umpires and not putting the burden on central umpires, sending them upstairs into the booth and having to interpret technology. He was in a tough spot because there was, yes, a spike as the ball passed the edge of the bat, so he was almost duty-bound to give it, if you look at it through that interpretation. But it's very, very clear that the bat is thumping the bottom of the pad at exactly the same time, and the angle the bat's on makes it quite likely the ball has gone through. In fact, if you really wish to, you can kind of see a gap there of daylight. Ashan Raza's given it, but if we have... if we charge that responsibility with specialist TV umps, and I know VAR this week's copped a lot of grief over here in the Premier League, and nothing's perfect when interpreting technology, but that felt to me like a human error that didn't need to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, we can almost work backwards on that because you mentioned the Premier League football thing, because actually if the Premier League had the same kind of script that cricket goes through, then we wouldn't have had the issue in the football, because basically, actually, when Raza sends it back on, he says, right, you can stick with your not out decision. And Joel Wilson's like, I gave it out, so they start the process again.
And then he took another, what I think, this is my theory, I'm not sure if it rings true, you can hear the background noise from the TV commentators in the box going, oh! And then he goes, oh, can I have another look at the Ultra Edge, please? I wonder whether he heard through his earpiece. It sounded like Dooley to me, going, oh! Whether he heard that, he's like, oh, shit, I better check one more time. and eventually landed on there being, by his interpretation, an inside edge. But, yeah, that's one of those that we'll probably keep banging on about until they realise that there are people who are better suited to audio engineers, not umpires, who've been standing in the middle making these line ball calls that their whole lives as umpires. It's a different job altogether, different skill set.
Yeah, and there's, I think there's something quite interesting that's happening with DRS. You know, I'm broadly, well, I mean, I am fundamentally a fan of it. I think the mistakes are few and far between.
Yeah.
But what I have noticed, and you kind of notice it a bit, well, I noticed it a bit during the 100, whereby, you know, the onus is on getting the game going through quickly. But I've seen it a little bit already in this World Cup. Bear in mind, we're only a few days old. Is they want to really get through these reviews with speed. And that was a rushed review to me.
Mm.
They didn't really take the time to actually analyse it. And sometimes that's worse. But it felt like he saw the spike next to the bat and didn't kind of almost engage, you know, his nous, really. As you said, like, he's an accomplished standing umpire. You know,
absolutely, one of the best in the world.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. Also, just even to look at the back face, as you mentioned before, it's pointing towards extra cover. The ball's going in between.
Yeah.
Very unlikely that there was actually any contact there. And I think there was just an element of guesswork with that one. And I think as soon as you get that inkling, it's just a bad decision, isn't it?
All right, Vish, let's go to the Final Word Hall of Fame. The Final Word Hall of Fame is brought to you by Westfield. Rediscover the magic of the festive season this year as you glide around Europe's tallest Christmas tree at the ice rink at Westfield, London. Whether you're as comfortable on the ice as the West Coast Eagles circuit in 2005, that is an inside joke. I think he means 2006 was, anyway. Or you've never skated before. It's a perfect festive day or night out. And book before today, the 8th of October, but you can book any old time for a discount at Westfield. And then you find it at icerinkwestfieldlondon.co.uk. Ice rink westfieldlondon.co.uk. Book your tickets, Westfield London, Westfield, Stratford City, more extra, less ordinary. And remiss of me not to say, to Sheehan Arnott, who is the man who works at Westfield and works with us, his wife gave birth to their first child yesterday.
Oh, congratulations.
Whose name is Frederick Leonard, which means that, you know, sort of two fast bowlers there, Fred Spofforth and Lenny Pascoe, which I'm sure is not a coincidence given that he himself is named after Paul Sheehan. There you go. Congratulations, Shagger. Hall of Fame today.
That's how it happens, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, Paul Sheehan's nickname was Shagger. He's
was
named
it?
After Paul
right,
Sheehan.
Okay.
It all lines up beautifully. Vish, what was your final word moment of the day?
It could only be Mujeeb coming out with that box.
How about that? How about in a professional game of cricket, having to delay the game,
a World Cup, no less.
And Mujeeb, who dropped... we talked about drop catches earlier. The one that went down to third man, he sticks out one hand. I mean, that is about as soft an effort as you would see from a professional athlete. But, I don't know whether he was rattled, having forgotten the box earlier. What doing?
How do you do that, really? Like, it's one thing to do it, you know, in a professional game at a World Cup. Bear in mind that Afghanistan head coach is Jonathan Trott, who famously leaves no stone unturned.
Sleeps in his box.
Yeah, famously.
Sleeps in his lid.
Yeah. Actually quite uncomfortable, wouldn't it? Maybe not one of the new ones, a multi-head. But, no, I mean, I say that about Jonathan Trott, someone who always takes, you know, no stone unturned. But that's bordering on parenting someone, isn't it? Telling them not to forget their box. Make sure you're wearing your box going out there. Like, I think if you walk out there, much in the same way that you can be timed out, if you walk out there with any piece of missing equipment, that's it. You got to stay there. you don't get to have it back. You don't get to have it, you know, run out to you.
Yeah.
Also, who's holding his box?
Yeah, there are a lot of questions to be answered there for Mujeeb. We said he was unlucky earlier with the league before that wasn't well. Yes, maybe he was lucky.
He got lucky in the end, not
to face up and cop one in the end. I also popped down here just a Jonathan Trott response to the run out from Najibullah. He did the whole doffing his cap thing. The Afghanistan coach, I suppose they've been working on that and all those drills. Yeah, we see it. We're lucky to watch a lot of training for these teams the day before games, and often they spend hour after hour trying to ping down one stump. So, you know, when a plan comes together, I suppose you can celebrate, the downside being that he put down a crucial catch about 20 minutes later. That is the final word, Hall of Fame. And indeed, that is our show for Westfield London. Stratford City, more extra, less ordinary. We'll put the link to the ice skating in the show notes. We're going to be going to the opening night of that. Me and my wife, Rachel, and my daughter, Winnie, who was running around a minute ago. So we'll be doing that. So I'm not saying join us there necessarily, but make a night out with your family if you live in London. Thank you to Westfield for their support. Thank you to Vish for nipping over and doing this. You'll join us at different points through the competition on the Final Word Daily. This is one of two episodes today. The second ep is with Jeff in India. Yes, that's right. Jeff has gotten through the border.
He's got a visa.
We didn't want to announce that he was in India until he'd officially gotten through with his visa. He's through. He's at his hotel. And he will be doing the game between Sri Lanka and South Africa with Bharat Sundaresan later today. And in story time, we'll drop on Sunday morning. A well-oiled machine, the final word. Thank you, Vish. Thanks for listening or watching. This has been the Final Word Daily. Bangladesh on the board. It's Tiger Time. That'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty, wrote this so you know what I meant here. I had to go about it, write it out.